I'll become dance music, and dance music is now cool, so.
It's much more acceptable than disco was.
Exactly.
I guess you found that through your whole career. You've got 12 LPs out now, and you've always been sort of a step ahead. I've noticed, you know, in following your career from a long time ago, from Come Over to My House.
It's awful being a step ahead. You're the one that never sells any records, and all the other people that sell the records, and then they say, Sparks, always a step ahead.
We're going to start retreating just a bit, though, and kind of slack off so that on our next album we can be just slightly behind of a few other people, and then
you'll sell millions of copies.
Millions.
Reap the benefits.
Well, you've got a good one out right now, and it seems pretty right for the times, and we're going to play, I guess, the first single that'll probably come off this, Cool Places.
Yeah, would you like me to say something interesting about this song?
I mean, mostly, can you give us an introduction to Cool Places?
This song's, it's a duet that I do with Jane Wiedlin from the Go-Go's. She helped out on this song. She actually sings on two songs on the LP. It's another cut. It's called Lucky Me, Lucky You. And she had been, as it turns out, a longtime fan of Sparks and written a really nice letter to the Sparks fan club saying she wanted to join. And so they passed that letter on to me, and I wrote back to her saying if you'd ever like to do a project together or have an illicit sort of affair or anything, I'm more than willing. And then she contacted me the next day and said yes to the both of the above, and so
that's what
there's
my
been
next
affairs
question.
There's been affairs and duets happening.
Hey, we got some hot gossip here. Let's hear some hot music. Cool Places from Sparks.
And their brand new LP from CFNY 102. What is going on here?
Well, that sounds weird. Hey, that's a little better.
Jackpot.
Test, test, test. Cool Places, the new LP from Sparks, and just a reminder that they'll be opening up for Rick Springfield at the CNE Bandstand tonight.
Right.
And
we just had one phone call, Sparks man, saying, isn't that an unusual billing, the two acts? And for, as we were saying to you, some of the for some of the older Sparks fans, maybe it's an unusual pairing, and but for the new ones that were now cultivating along the way, it seems fairly logical, the move. We've done about 7 shows so far with Rick Springfield in the States, and the reaction's been really, really good. We found out that there's a whole new, younger audience out there that's coming to see Sparks and really enjoying that sort of stuff. So in answer to his question, take that.
You do write a lot about young teenage girls from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he was saying cultivating an audience, there's all sorts of meanings to that, and we have certain meanings to cultivating an audience, and part of that is the teenage audience, post-show, that sort of thing. We've always felt that we were into teenagers more than most.
Do a lot of cultivating back at the hotel after the show.
Yeah, it's a big cultivating tour that we're doing right now. Oh, no, I'm just saying we're getting pretty good at that cultivating.
Well, after how many years? Like at least 10, 12 years you guys have been singing professionally now.
Yeah. This is the 12th album, and
One a year. You also do things outside of Sparks, though. We have an album here by a group called Telex from Belgium, and I noticed Ron and Russell Mayall written on the bottom for all the lyrics, and Sigmund Freud's Party was just a huge success here.
Yeah, they're real good friends of ours, Mark Moulin and Dan Laxman, and Michelle from the band, the three guys, and they had just been fans of Sparks as well for a long time. They're Belgian, and they have a real small, tiny studio in one of their houses in Brussels, and they had asked us if we would want to write English lyrics to that album, to the entire album, and we were really flattered because we really like what they're doing a lot. And then in turn we liked working in their studio over there, so our new album Sparks in Outer Space, we ended up recording that in their studio as well. And Dan Laxman, who is one third of Telex, was the engineer for the new Sparks album. You have all that complicated story, but
it's there
nonetheless,
live from the horse's mouth. Let's listen to another track. This is track 2, side 1, and it is Popularity from the new Sparks LP, Sparks in Outer Space.
Then we join some Sparks from CFNY 102 and Popularity, and this is from the LP Sparks in Outer Space. And Ron and Russell Mail are here. Have you guys always been brothers?
Yes, contrary to public opinion, we have always been brothers.
We've had a legal separation about 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. It was very, very difficult.
A lot of money exchanged hands there, boy.
Yeah.
And those legal fees.
I got to keep the dog. So uh-huh. Happy.
Are you twin brothers? You're the same
no.
age, one older?
No,
we're
one
twin
is younger.
Brothers 3 years apart in age.
Uh-huh. One's younger and one's older, and we won't tell you which.
Okay, well,
because we've had 12 albums out.
Mm-hmm. Ron, have you ever shaved off your mustache?
I have shaved it off, yeah. We did a video with the most grotesque possible thing that I could possibly do to myself, and that was shaving my mustache off. It's sort of like when Samson got his hair clipped. I lose all my secret powers. I'm no longer able to write lyrics for Telex or any of those sorts of things or cultivate audiences. So I had to grow it right back because I just became a mere mortal, hairless human being. And it's back, and now I have my powers.
How did you like doing the video for Cool Places? I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but I will be seeing it shortly, so I can't really, you know, ask how it went, but how did it
it's,
go?
It's really good. It's really helped us out a lot in the States because there's, I guess people are aware of it, but it's not yet too current here in Canada. But MTV, it's a cable network that shows rock videos 24 hours a day, and they've picked up on Cool Places, the video, and really showed it a lot, and it's really helping us on our tour. And we did it with a guy in San Francisco, Graham Whiffler, who's been responsible for The Residents, their videos. I don't know if you're aware of them. They're a real obscure band.
Ralph Records.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And they do these little 30-second long videos, and we thought they were really unusual, so we hired this guy to do ours. And it has the two of us, Ron and myself, and Jane from the Go-Go's is also in it. It's real visually stunning, as one says.
Uh-huh.
So go into a bar somewhere. We heard that people are setting up those little things. That
satellite dishes.
Satellite dishes. And picking up MTV from the States, so
yeah.
go get a satellite dish, and you will see Sparks.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it because I haven't seen any videos by Sparks. So is this the first video, or you must have done?
No, we've done lots and lots for practically all the singles, but up until more recently, there never were that many outlets for videos in Canada or the States, in England and in Europe. There's a lot of TV shows that just show promotional videos, and now it's becoming really trendy in the States with MTV showing 24 hours a day. So
where do you see the future of videos going? I know they're a very good marketing tool, you know. To
be honest, they've become so inbred and they've become so much like each other, the videos, that I think that unless there's some real change made in the way people are making the videos, that people are going to lose interest in them. I think that the whole original idea of being able to buy an album with all the visuals on it is not going to work, because there's something about being able to fill in all of the mental blanks when you hear an album that's really exciting, and that's gone. So I think that the videos are okay as as, I hate to use the term, a promo device, but
it certainly worked that way.
Yeah, but becoming something more than that. I mean, David Bowie has had a video for Let's Dance, and he intellectualized and said this is a protest video to help encourage the rights of Aborigines in Australia. And if you saw the video, you saw David Bowie looking great playing a guitar in Australia. It's trying to become something that it's really not. And our video we thought was fun, and that's all that it was. And to me, unless there's a lot of changes that occur soon, the whole thing with videos is just going to die out, I think.
It's sort of like your music, though. When you write a song, like, a lot of your music's fun too, but there's some very subtle meanings behind all the fun and the cynicism. And it's put so simply, it can be deceptive sometimes.
Well, I'm gonna have to check that out. I don't really. to me, they were just blatant statements. But maybe I'm actually a deep person deep down. Gee whiz! Thank you. That's flattering. I bet you say that to all the bands.
No, I don't. As a matter of fact,
because I thought I was just cynical, and there really was nothing beneath all that cynicism. But
well,
maybe there is something.
I don't believe you, because I think you're being sort of cynical now.
Ooh, me?
Yeah,
ooh,
you. Anyway, if you ain't dancing to this tune, there's something wrong. That's what it says here. Maybe our stylist here. It's called I Wish I Looked a Little Better. Gentlemen, thank you for dropping
by.
Okay,
thank you. And if anybody comes to the Rick Springfield concert, this is the song that we will be opening the set with tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome Sparks?